Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. Every Sunday morning, same time, same place, we're right here. This is show number 895. 895 different radio shows, Flatline shows, presented to you in the last 15 years. And I hope we're able to make 1,000 here pretty soon. Thank you for listening. Let me remind you that as we come up for new contracts, we would love to know if you're listening. We'd love to hear from you. Not asking for money. We're just asking to say, yes, I listen to you in my city, and yes, I do listen on my radio station. That helps us know what we've got to do when we come time to sign the new contracts. And if you want to get any of the material that we offer free of charge, all you got to do is go to our website, rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org. There you find all sorts of books that we've written and make available free of charge, as well as all the radio transcripts from the past year's shows from 2019, 2020, 2021. So that's 52 radio shows a year, and it's in printed form so you can read them. So it's up to you if you want them. Just get in touch with us. You can always call us at 800-831-0718. But we're not counselors. I'm not a counselor. I'm an evangelist. My job is to give you the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's provided for you, and to point you in the direction of a well-qualified pastor. That's my job, and I hope that's what I'm able to do. So thank you for listening, and thank you for praying for me as we go through these times. I want to talk to you something about something today that's pretty critical, pretty different, pretty unique. And that is the fact that we are a peculiar people. If you're a Christian, you're really a peculiar person because we have a distinctive character. Christians have a different set of values. We have a different mindset, and we have a particular calling. This means that you and I don't think like the world thinks, and we don't act like the world acts. If you add to this our mission on earth, and you have a person much different from the unbeliever, did you hear me? If you add to this our mission on this earth, you have a person much different from the unbeliever. So we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have a different modus operandi, a method of operation, which is the reflection of God's standards in our lives. This is like having a big target on your back, I promise you. It's like having a giant target on your back. We're not called to blend in. Nope. We're called to stand out. And not like some self-righteous legalist looking down our nose and judging those that we disagree with, but rather to love anyone just like God loved us, but never, ever endorsing sin or depravity. This is how it all starts. If you're going to be a peculiar person, it starts with a second birth, or it starts with you and me being born again. What does that mean? Well, in John 3:6, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to have two birthdays. Now, my birthday is in August. I don't know when yours is, but we like to celebrate birthdays. So people get around, get a cake, sing happy birthday, and you celebrate another year down the road. But the second birthday is a spiritual birthday, and it doesn't always have to be known. I mean, you can know the day you accepted Christ, or maybe not. I remember the day I did it, 17 August 1967, and that was the day I was born again. That's the day I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:50, now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood, that's the first birth, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and neither does corruption inherit incorruption. So if all you've had is birth one, a physical birthday, you know, it's a boy, have a cigar, if that's all you got, then you're not going to heaven. Our distinctive character that I'm talking about comes from this unique birth. See, our bodies of flesh and blood are infected with a cancer. It's called Adam's original sin. In Romans 5:12, the Bible says, therefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and death is passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. Our Lord explained it to a Pharisee named Nicodemus in this manner. He said in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except one be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in John 3:5, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say unto you, except one be born of water, that's the first birth, and of the Spirit, that's the second birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So this gives us a principle we need to remember. No natural-born person can enter heaven. Born of water. If that's all you've got, just born of water, your mother's water births, and you showed up, you're not going to heaven until you have the second birth. And the second birth is your dead human spirit being made alive by the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. How does that occur? Well, it occurs by an act of faith and is provided by God's grace. The Bible says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one should glory. So this new birth, this second birth, the second birthday, requires a new way of thinking, a new way of living, all of which must be learned starting with the way we think. So once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to change the way you think. You've been thinking in terms of human viewpoint in the past, now you have to think in terms of divine viewpoint. Here's what the Bible says again, Romans 12:1-3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not fashioned according to this world. In other words, don't think like this world thinks, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, changing your mind, the way you think. So that, purpose clause, you will be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And listen carefully to verse 3. For I say through the grace that was given to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, that's arrogance, but so to think as to think soberly, that's humility, according as God hath dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. The number one enemy that you face in your life is your own arrogance. Self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption all lead to self-destruction. And the person who is not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ may try to justify why he should go to heaven. And he will get that opportunity at the great white throne of judgment. He will be allowed to stand before God as the books are opened, and all the books of his works will be manifest. However, the Bible says there are none that are good, no, not one, because all of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. So in spite of how good he was, in spite of how generous he was, in spite of how noble he was, he will die and go to the lake of fire because he did not have the second birth. So this charge that I gave you requires you change how you think. For example, you must learn how to respond to unfair circumstances and not react to unfair circumstances. Responding requires thought, and reacting means you get emotional. And then emotions take over and control your thoughts. So anytime something questionable or bad or interrupting happens in your life, you can respond by using the problem-solving devices like faith rest drill. Or you can react by getting out of fellowship with God, getting mad, blowing your temper, cursing everybody out, yelling and screaming and making an idiot out of yourself. Emotions will destroy you if you don't learn to control them. And so God's way of thinking is that you have to have some humility. And that's responding to authority, whether the authority is fair or not fair. We live in a day when authority is not necessarily fair. How do you handle it? Do you get mad? Do you get angry? Or do you respond using the problem-solving devices, using the faith rest drill, using biblical orientation? What does the Bible say? Romans 13. And then having impersonal love for all mankind. So if you're going to respond to adverse, difficult situations, this is what Philippians 2:5 says you need, the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what we label as divine viewpoint. It's thinking with biblical wisdom, which gives understanding, insight, as well as discernment. But first, you must understand who and what we are. Then we learn what provisions God gave us to deal with in these times. So who are we, what are we, and what has God given to us, if we are actually this peculiar people I'm talking about? Well, the Apostle Paul admitted this. He admitted that he had a struggle with his sinful nature. In Romans 7:15, he says these words, "For that which I do, I know not. For what I would do, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." The word "do" is there three times, and all three times are different words in the Greek language. That's amazing. That little two-letter word, "do," is three different words, krosso, poio, and katergatsomai, three different words. And what he's saying is, the things that I do, I don't want to do them. What I want to do, I'm not doing. What I hate, that's the things I keep doing. That's the sin nature. And so he says in verse 16 of Romans 7, "If then I do which I don't want to do, I consent to the law, and the law is good." In other words, the law shows me that I'm wrong. "So now then, it's no longer I that do it, but sin dwelling in me." That's the cancer in you. "For I know that in me," that's in my flesh, "dwells no good thing." That's why the flesh can't go to heaven. You got to have a second birth. "For to will is present." I don't want to do good, bad, he says. "To will is present with me, but how to perform that, I don't understand. For the good that I'd like to do, I don't do, but the evil which I don't want to do, that's the things that I do." Verse 20. "Now, if I do those things which I don't want to do, it's no more me that does it, but sin that dwells in me." Sin nature, volition, put them together. Put together your sin nature plus your volition equals failure. Your sin nature plus your volition equals failure. If you respond to sin and say, "Yes, I will do that," you're going to break fellowship with God and you're going to fail. So this is part of the problem with a particular race of people known as Christians. We have the potential for failure. We can fail very easily. But that's why you have a flight line in your soul. And that's why Rebound gives you the ability to overcome the slavery to your sin nature. You don't have to be addicted to any sin, regardless of what it might be. And there's a lot of them I could mention. I don't know what your particular sin is. I don't know the sin that you keep going back to. But if you're addicted to it, you're not going to be able to quit sinning for the rest of your life. No one has that ability. But anyone who accepted Christ as Savior has a way to deal with the sin and deal with the times that we fail by committing personal sin. I mean, even King David in the Old Testament had to deal with his personal sin. Listen to what he wrote in Psalm 42. 42:4-5 of the book of Psalm. "For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. The sap of my soul was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." That's the same as 1 John 1:9 for us. He recovered fellowship with God by confessing his sin and not hiding it. When you sin, the worst thing you could do is act like you didn't do it, to try to hide it from God, to try to cover it up. It doesn't work. It's like you're trying to go into some store and steal something, stick it under your shirt and walk out with it and you get caught. You're not going to get away with it with God. But listen, God doesn't hold grudges. But I will promise you this, his justice will correct you when you fail to acknowledge your sin through Rebound. That correction comes by warning discipline, intense discipline, and eventually could be dying discipline. So God's not going to let you get away with sin, because the Bible says if we're his child, he will discipline us, Hebrews 12. So our values, those things that we live by, those things that we make dear, those things we hold up in front of us, they make us very vulnerable to criticism and complaints from the lost man. What is your mindset? Paul wrote it in Philippians 1:21. "For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain." Now, with that kind of attitude, you're going to be very vulnerable to criticism by people that don't understand that. Because the average unbeliever fears the unknown of death, whereas you have the assurance of a bodily resurrection. You will be resurrected from the grave, you will have a resurrection body, and you will live forever in a body minus the cancer of the sin nature. No more sin nature. and you will be face to face with your Heavenly Father. In Philippians 4:12, Paul talks about how he lives. Listen to what he said about his lifestyle. And this is what makes people criticize us or complain about us. I know how to be abased, and I know how to have abounding, luxury wealth. Everywhere and in everything, I'm instructed both to be full and even to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. So here's two significant statements. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And Ephesians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No wonder you're vulnerable to criticism and complaint, because you don't think like the world thinks. And when they look at you in this idiotic faith lifestyle you live, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ can guide you and uphold you and strengthen you, they're going to complain and criticize about you. You know, the unbeliever fears death. That's true. He doesn't understand it. But the mature believer, which I hope is you, uses all of these 10 unique problem-solving devices called a flatline to overcome adversity and overcome stress, things that are related to worry and insecurity. You can have victory over that. You can overcome that. How? By using grace orientation, biblical orientation, having a personal sense of destiny, having a personal love for God, sharing the happiness of God, occupation with Christ, all these doctrines that we talk about on the flatline. So your message to the unbeliever seems to make you crazy. They take a look at you and say, man, that's a religious nut. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are saved, it's the power of God. Yeah, they think you're foolish. I mean, they make fun of them. That's your Savior, died on a cross, bled to death, hung on a tree. How could that be God? Well, when he walked out of the grave, he proved he was God. They all thought he was dead, but he wasn't. He walked out of the grave alive. He's alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father, and he awaits the shouted order to return and pick you and I up. He's coming back, and we will go back with him. So we can overcome these adversities and stress-related sins in our life by using the flatline. Again, Paul said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Doesn't make any difference. I can do anything, all things, everything through Christ who strengthens me. So, again, your message to the unbeliever makes them think you're crazy. The preaching of the cross is foolishness. There's the word, foolishness, to those who perish. They may say, you're telling me that all I've got to do to go to heaven is to believe in Christ? Well, what about, don't I have to work for it? Don't I have to be good? Don't I have to quit sinning? Don't I have to join the church? Don't I have to get baptized? Don't I have to do this or that or the other thing? No. The power of the cross has been accomplished already. Christ died for my sins and your sins already. I can't go to God and make it any more forgiving. It's already forgiven, already done. I can only come to Christ and through Christ. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. So what's unique about God is you don't have to be a genius to work for him. Aren't you glad? You don't have to be a genius to work for God. I can go amen to that. Listen to 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see in your calling, brethren, how not many wise men, according to the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Isn't that amazing? That way God gets the credit. God can take the simple-minded, simple person and make a biblical hero out of him. And that's what God can do for you. God can use you. You don't have to be an IQ genius. You don't have to have a PhD in theology for God to use you. When I got saved, I didn't have a college degree. I still don't have a college degree. But I have been in the ministry for 54 years. I have spoken in thousands of high schools and done hundreds of radio shows and been in hundreds of churches. God took a big idiot like me, and when I learned his plan, got under my pastor, started studying the Word of God, and learned his plan, then he gave me a venue to teach that plan. And part of the venue is what you're listening to today. It's called The Flatline. The only reason I have a radio show is because I know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to manipulate you, not trying to appeal to your emotions, not trying to do run around a circle with you. I'm just teaching you straight up what the Bible says. Your destiny is beyond what the unbeliever can even comprehend. He cannot even comprehend what awaits you. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor hath the ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. Wow. That's your destiny. No one's seen it. No one's heard it. You're going to see colors you never saw. You're going to hear sounds you never heard. You're going to see the most amazing things when you get face to face with God. When you come into your eternal life, it will be something you've never experienced before. Not even close. You don't realize it right now, but you're living in a sewer. And when you get to heaven, if God said, you want to go back to earth and stay a few more years, you're going to say, no way. I don't want to go back to that sewer. It's an amazing thing. So our uniqueness makes us peculiar. It's in our position. We are in Christ and Christ is in us. Colossians 1:27, to them God would make known what are the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ lives in you. He's the Shekinah glory of the Old Testament, and your body is now the temple to the Holy Spirit, and Christ lives in you. So what's unique about us is our position. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And then our uniqueness lies in the power we have. Ephesians 1:17, I pray that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, with the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so that you will know what is the confidence of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You will know things that other people don't know. That's the power that comes from being a believer, the power that comes from learning God's word. It's called the spirit of wisdom and revelation through the knowledge of him. And the eyes of your understanding will be opened up and you will see things. Our uniqueness lies in our prayer life. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer, all supplication in the spirit, not out of fellowship, in the spirit, watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for every member of the family of God. Our uniqueness lies in the provisions that God has given to us. Take unto you the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6:11, so that you will be able to stand against the strategy of the devil. God has given you wonderful provisions. God has given you everything you need, the armor of God, the belt plate of righteousness, the breast of truth, the shield of faith. All of these are major Bible doctrines you must learn, you must understand. You must take advantage of what God has equipped you to do and how God has prepared you. These are provisions God gave to you. I just gave you one verse, 6:11, Ephesians 6:11. But read it, 6:11 through 17, and you'll see everything he gives you in the forms of a military metaphor that Paul used. So the unbeliever, the disadvantaged person, I call it, he or she has no insight, no discernment into the way that Satan manipulates them, our satanic strategy. But I can tell you this, the number one satanic strategy in the world is organized religion. Why? Because it gives a false sense of security in regard to future events. Religion is the narcotic that deadens the mind of the non-Christian. And we understand from the Bible that Satan's major objective is twofold, to blind the mind of the unbeliever so he won't accept Christ. And if they do believe in Christ, to hinder their function and execution of the protocol plan of God. In other words, to distract you in every way possible and keep you from ever making the Word of God your number one priority in your life. So he does it by establishing a system of religion in which the works of mankind replace the function and the mechanics of the grace of God. So he hides the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, if our gospel has been veiled, it's hidden, are veiled to those that are going to perish, in whose case the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the thinking of those who are unbelievers, so they won't see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who's the image of God. That's what he does. puts blinders on the unbeliever. But you and I are protected in two different sources: the ministry of the Holy Spirit, John 14:26, called the Comforter. The Father sends him, Jesus said, in my name, and he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance the things I've told you. We have that protection from the Holy Spirit and through the living Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, into the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. As you can understand easily, a mature believer is a very unique individual. Unique advantages of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and you and I are set apart, empowered, and guided into the most fantastic life God has provided. And that's you having a flight line in your soul. If you never grow to spiritual maturity, you'll never understand this. You'll always be at a severe disadvantage in the devil's world. I want you to understand you will miss out on generous blessings that God offers you if you don't grow to spiritual maturity. And those blessings are found in eternity in Revelation 2:7, Revelation 2:10, Revelation 2:17, Revelation 2:28, Revelation 3:5, Revelation 3:12, Revelation 3:21. I didn't read them. I don't have time. You can take your Bible and read Revelation 2 and 3 and see the blessings God has for you in eternity. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. I poured out my heart to you. I hope it's challenging you today. This is your host, Rick Hughes, host of The Flight Line, hoping to hear from you, and you'll come back next week, same time, same place. Until then, God bless.
Thank you for listening to The Flight Line with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
Welcome to The Flight Line with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around with me. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and no manipulation. No conning anybody, not trying to raise money, not trying to sell you anything. We just want to give you some information, not speculation, but information. Information from the Word of God that will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life if you're interested. And if you are, you can orient and adjust to the plan. My job is always to get it accurate, get it right, not mix it up, not confuse you, but to give you the truth. That's what I'm trying to do. But before we get started today, a couple of things I'd like to tell you, and then we'll move on to what we're going to talk about. It's time for us to renew a lot of our radio stations. We have 110 stations across America we have signed contracts with, and we pay to run this show in these stations all across the country. So if you've never contacted us to tell us you're listening, I'd like to ask you to please consider doing so. Please let us know where you are, what station you're listening on, so we can, as we make our new contracts, we know we're getting the best bang for our buck wherever we are. We don't want to waste money if people are not listening. So there are a few areas where we've never heard from listeners, and if you're in one of those areas, drop us a note, drop us a line, and then we'll let these stations know we're going to continue our contracts with them. We want to be there. We want to continue to give you the information. And we would appreciate if you would let us know. You can email us, rick@rickhughesministries.org, rick@rickhughesministries.org, or you could call 800-831-0718, 831-0718, 800-831-0718. Let us know you're listening. That helps us as we renew our contracts and sign our new deals for the coming year, okay? And again, if you have any information you'd like to get, you can go to our website, rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org. I want to remind you, I'm not Richard Hughes. That's someone else. If you go on the Internet looking for me and you find rickhughesministries.org, that is not me. That's a man in Georgia. I am rickhughesministries.org and have been for 20 years. So sometimes the Internet is confusing to people and they send it to the wrong person, the letters or the notes that they get. Anyhow, rickhughesministries.org, not Richard Hughes Ministries, okay? Now, I don't know what you think about family. A lot of people do. You know, faith and family is very important to people. I didn't have much of a family growing up. I never knew my father. To this day, I don't know who it was. My mom raised me as a single mother, and she often farmed me out to guardians that would take care of me during the week, and then I'd go home on the weekends on Friday night and Saturday night and go back and live with the guardians from Sunday night until Friday night again. I wound up in four or five different grammar schools and eventually got into high school at Woodlawn High School in Birmingham, Alabama, and there I met a football coach that kind of brought out the manhood in me or what kind of person I really could be as an athlete. But I didn't have a whole lot of family. We did have a grandmother, my mother's mother, and I did have a step-grandfather, and we would get together on Christmas. But to some people, family is everything, huge families, and I admire that tremendously. Maybe you have that. Recently, we witnessed the passing of Queen Elizabeth II of Great Britain, and she was the longest reigning monarch in British history. And my gosh, her family tree goes back for hundreds of years. She was the daughter of King George VI and Queen Elizabeth. So the royal family of Britain certainly has some amazing history, history of both tragedy and triumph. But here's the best news I could ever tell you. You do have a family. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are in the royal family of God. We are members of the royal family of God, and that supersedes even the British family. Even the British reign of kings and queens and dukes and princes and earls. I mean, God's royal family. I want to welcome you to the royal family of God. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, sometimes Christians call each other brothers and sisters. I don't go into that a whole lot, but we are members of the same family. The royal family of God is defined as every church-age believer, regardless of his ancestry, regardless of his background, regardless of his race, regardless of classification, etc. In other words, all distinctions are erased at the point of salvation and reconciliation to God. And we are now, every one of us, you, me, and any other person who's done this, we are one in Christ. We're in God's royal family. What an amazing, wonderful blessing that is. We are members of the royal family of God. And it's permanent, a permanent royalty. It'll last forever because our royalty is eternal and secure since it's related to our regeneration that never is taken away. And that means that every church-age believer, from the time the church started at Pentecost until now, every church-age believer is definitely in full-time royal service for the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are both believer priests and royal ambassadors. We're royal priests and royal ambassadors. Let that sink in for a minute. You have a title, not the Duke of Earl, not the Duke of Windsor. You are the royal priest of God. You are the royal ambassador of heaven. That's amazing. The plan for the royal family of God is not some ritual plan like what Israel went through in their dispensation. That's been superseded now, and it's the protocol plan of God, which calls for maximum utilization of divine power by the royal family of God. God's protocol plan says that a right thing must be done in a right way. You've been left here on earth to represent God the Father and to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's protocol involved. The first protocol, as we talk about it on the Flatline show, is the use of the filling of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do your job as a royal priest or a royal ambassador if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. And you do receive the Holy Spirit when you get saved. You're indwelled by the Holy Spirit, according to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. So no one's going to take you out of the Holy Spirit's control. But that's not the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit comes by means of rebound. When you know you've committed a sin, when you are aware that you've either sinned in your mind, like worry, fear, anger, bitterness, or you've sinned with your mouth, like slander, gossip, maligning, criticizing, or you've sinned overtly, something you might do overtly, like drunkenness or fornication or adultery. When you sin, you quench the Holy Spirit. That means you shut off His power. That means He can't intercede for you. He can't help you in prayer. He can't give you God's direction. He can't help you understand what the pastor is trying to teach you because you've shut off His power. And you have to rebound. You have to stay in fellowship with God. This is the biggest problem in the Christian life today. People do not understand this. If you don't stay in fellowship with God by using rebound, you're never going to be able to fulfill your priesthood or your ambassadorship. You must rebound. What is that? 1 John 1:9. We've said it 1 million times. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The minute you admit a sin, boom, you're back in fellowship with God. That means you're filled with the Holy Spirit. The minute you sin, boom, you're out of fellowship with God and you've quenched the Holy Spirit. And of course, that's known as grieving Him. So all of this works off of the protocol plan of God. And you have to understand that. Maximum utilization of divine power by the royal family of God comes through the filling of the Holy Spirit and the dynamics of the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow, is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. You have as your weapon God the Holy Spirit and God's living Word that will live and abide forever. So the protocol plan of God, the flat line, the learning these problem-solving devices, is related to an unprecedented provision in throughout all of human history. Unprecedented in the fact that all three members of the Godhead indwell your body. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they indwell your body. And thus, your body is a temple of God. Did you know that? That your body is a temple of God? I mean, you don't have to go to church to meet God. He lives in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16 through 17 tells you that. Don't you know, quoting now, that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy and you are that temple. This is a direct warning to you as a believer priest not to get out of fellowship and stay out of fellowship and bring shame to the name of God. When you sin and don't rebound, you're in trouble. And there are three stages of discipline. We've talked about this on the show: warning, intense, and dying. God will warn you. You're out of line. You don't listen. You don't pay attention. You don't correct your attitude. Then it gets intense where God puts the pressure on you, and that hurts. If that doesn't work, then He may just call you home too soon. You may be taken off the battlefield way too soon. God may have wanted you to live for 100 years, but you couldn't stay in fellowship 100 minutes. You sinned so much, and you kept quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit. You did not rebound, and so God said, all right, I'm just bringing you home. We're wasting time. So the protocol plan of God provides you with this power in your life. You have two royal commissions. The first one is that royal priesthood I talked about, whereby we represent ourselves before the throne of God. You don't need a priest to go to God for you. You are a priest. Listen, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of the one that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You are a priest, a believer priest, in the family of God, the royal family of God. You can go to God and rebound. You don't have to have someone else confess your sins for you. And don't ever tell someone else what your sins are. That's not their, it's none of their business. That's between you and God. So you want to be a royal priest? You want to represent God? You can do it for yourself. You are a believer priest. And you have a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. A royal ambassadorship is the second one we talked about. And this is how we represent God to all mankind. So the royal priesthood, we represent ourselves. And the royal ambassadorship, we represent God to all mankind. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were beseeching you by means of us. And we pray you on Christ's seed be reconciled to God. How can you get reconciled to God? By being religious? No. By giving up sin? No. There's only one way that you can be reconciled to God, and that's what the Bible says. He who knew no sin was made sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God by means of him. It's only by means of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior that you have an open channel of communication to God the Father. Christ provided that, and that's why he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one can come to the Father but by me. So the royal family of God, while it's on earth, while we're here, we're called the body of Christ. And in heaven, when we get there, we're called the bride of Christ. So we're the body of Christ now, and we'll be the bride of Christ in heaven. Revelation 19:7-8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, what is his wife? That's the body of Christ. His wife has made herself ready, and to her, the body of Christ, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. After the rapture of the church, what's the exit resurrection? It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back at the exit resurrection, and we are raptured out, when we are taken to heaven. I mean, you may be walking down the street 1 minute, and boom, you're gone. You go to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Read it for yourself. The dead in Christ should rise first, and then we that remain and behind shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we evermore be with the Lord. When we go with the rapture, we go to heaven, and we are prepared as the bride during that tribulational period, that seven-year period. But when we come back with Christ at the second advent, we come back as his bride. And listen what the Bible says. Here we are, coming back now. We've been raptured. We've gone to heaven. We've been there 7 years. There's been the marriage of the Lamb to the church. And here it is, 19:11-14, Revelation. And I saw heaven open up. John now records the vision. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called The Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven, you and me, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, that's our righteousness, followed him upon white horses. If you like horses, there's horses in heaven, right there they are, white horses. So, think about that. Royal family of God, the bride of Christ. And now we come back with him to the earth for 1,000-year reign of the millennial reign of Christ. Our security as royalty is based on this, the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by God at salvation. This is a guarantee of our status as members of the royal family of God. Now, what's the objective of leaving us here? Why did God leave us here? Well, the first objective is for us to take in the Word of God on a consistent daily basis until we receive the mind of Christ. We become Christ-like. We begin to think like Christ so that when people see us, they see an image of Christ. That's our first objective. Take in the Word of God. Begin to have personal love for God, the greatest virtue in the world. Virtue love is personal love for God. The Bible tells us God is love. And if we reciprocate with that love, then we are growing in Christ. And this develops what the Bible calls spiritual self-esteem. If you have personal love for God, you can have some spiritual self-esteem. Now, the believer, you and I, we must continue to grow spiritually while we're here. I mean, we start off as babies, and we got to get to spiritually adult, and then we get to heaven. So how do we do that? Well, we take in food. And that food is the Word of God, and we feed on the Word of God. Here's how it works. You stay filled with the Holy Spirit. You sit under the ministry of a qualified pastor. He serves you a great meal. He teaches you God's Word, hopefully more than one meal a week. And you eat it. You take it in. You metabolize it. You learn it. You use it. You apply it into your life. And you grow. And that's how you develop spiritual self-esteem. So as we grow spiritually, we develop this autonomy where we don't need other people to tell us what to do. We can handle it ourselves. We understand the Christian life. We understand how we're supposed to live. And we develop the phenomenal problem-solving device called impersonal love towards other members of the human race. Personal love for God, you develop first. Impersonal love for others, you develop second. That comes from understanding the Word of God. That comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit and maturity in your life where you can relax around other people and love them, even though they might be weirdos, even though they might be jerks, you can still love them. But you love them based now on who you are, not based on who they are. Impersonal love is your love based on you, not your love based on them. That's how God did it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Weren't you part of the world? Weren't you one of those weirdos in the world and God loved you? He didn't love you based on your character. He loved you based on his character. And it's the same thing with you using impersonal love. So as we take in the Word of God, as we live the protocol plan of God as believer priests and royal ambassadors, we grow spiritually and we develop love for other members of the human race. And while all this is going on, you're going to be tested. I mean, Satan's not going to sit by and clap his hands and say, oh boy, look, a great Christian is growing right there. No, you're going to be tested. There's going to be momentum testing. And this will see whether or not you'll stick with it. Whether or not you've got enough courage to stay in fellowship and keep growing daily, or whether you're going to peel off and be distracted and discouraged. You go through momentum testing. You go through people testing. That's a hard test to pass. You know, the biggest test will be from members of your own congregation, not people on the outside, people in your own church. People will turn on you. People will say things about you. People may malign you. How will you handle that? People testing. And then system testing, disaster testing, all these are going to come in your life. They have to for you to reach spiritual maturity. But when you get there, when you get to spiritual maturity, then you undergo the final test called evidence testing. And this is where the Father allows you to be put on the witness stand, and Satan will cross-examine you to try to get you to break. Can you pass evidence testing? Can you stay in fellowship in spite of what may have happened to you like Job did? He went through evidence testing. So at maturity, when we finally reach maturity, which is your ultimate goal, as a believer priest and a royal ambassador, we receive our blessings. Blessings that God put on deposit for you many years ago. And he will pour them out into your life. This is the objective of the royal family of God while on earth, to get these blessings. But we have a code we must live by. This code is important. It's an honor code. The royal family of God has an honor code, and that code is a system of spiritual integrity. It's mandated by God in the Bible, and it's revealed in the mystery doctrines of the church. The royal family honor code relates to God's personal integrity and yours as well. Your integrity in relationship to other people. Your integrity in relationship to God. The honor code is a supplement to using impersonal love for all believers, but it's also a problem-solving device in the protocol plan of God. The honor code of God includes the filling of the Holy Spirit. It includes you using biblical orientation, grace orientation, and a personal sense of destiny. These are all part of the plot line. But the great enemy to this honor code, the great enemy you will face, is gossip, maligning, and slandering other believers. In Ephesians 4:25, therefore, having laid aside the lie, every one of you must speak the truth with his fellow believers, since we are members one of another. Now, let's back up for a minute. Are there people in your church you can't stand? Are there people in your church that have maligned you, criticized you, run you down, maybe even run you out of the church? Have you complained? Have you been bitter? Have you been full of self-pity? You're not living up to the honor code. This is a hard test to pass. Many of you will face it. I've faced it in my life, being put down for something you didn't do. You have to use the Word of God to handle these sort of tests. So, the protocol plan of God is the greatest producer of honor and integrity in all of history. It's an honor and an integrity produced by the ministry of God the Holy Spirit and the Word of God alive inside your soul. It's an honor and an integrity produced by you perceiving and applying the Word of God in your life. It's the application of doctrine. The application of doctrine requires you to maintain some spiritual self-esteem and move from spiritual self-esteem to the higher function of spiritual autonomy and eventually even spiritual maturity. So the Royal Family of God Honor Code is amazing because what? The Royal Family Honor Code functions best where there's spiritual self-esteem. And we say, well, what are you talking about self-esteem? Well, that's how you value yourself, how you perceive yourself. It's based on the opinion of yourself. And sometimes we can be difficult to change. We might also think this is self-confidence. Your self-esteem can affect whether you like and value yourself as a person. That's human self-esteem, but spiritual self-esteem is totally different. How do you feel about your spiritual life? Do you have spiritual confidence? That's you being confident in your spiritual journey, not depending on another individual to motivate you or to direct you. It's the basis for you resolving your unresolvable problems. Spiritual self-esteem becomes the base of operation for the effective application of the Word of God in your life. With the attainment of spiritual self-esteem in your life, when you get there, you've learned enough of the Word of God to make application to every experience in life. You know why many believers lack human self-esteem? Because they lack the ability to apply the truth of the Word of God to their experience. They lack human self-esteem, and that puts them in some sort of vacuum. They suffer from problems of dependency on other people, dependency on something to make them happy. You are to be dependent on God and independent of any problems. So spiritual self-esteem is the key. With no self-esteem, human or spiritual, then you're going to be disoriented in life. And no one can be successful in marriage without self-esteem. Without self-esteem, you cannot entertain yourself. You can't even handle simple problems like loneliness, problems related to social life. Lack of self-esteem in almost everything in life will destroy you. But the greatest disaster you face is failure to learn, understand, and apply the honor code, God's system of integrity. The honor code is related to the laws of divine establishment, Romans 13, 8 through 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. The honor code demands patriotism, respect for government authority, military service, respect for law and order. Romans 13, 1 through 7, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but from God. The powers that are ordained by God. Whoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist shall receive themselves damnation. Rulers, the Bible goes on to say, are not a terror to good works, but to evil. So the Royal Family Honor Code revolves around three simple principles before we wrap it up. Truth or integrity in your life, impersonal love towards others, and grace orientation. James 2:8 puts it this way. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you will love your neighbor as yourself. Then you will do well. That honor code we're talking about demands integrity, virtue, and the grace of orientation to God's functions in life. You, yourself, myself as well, without the Royal Family Honor Code, we will be useless and worthless to God. You are a believer priest. You are an ambassador. Live up to that. Live it as you should. This is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life. Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
What is TAM?